Again, Merry Christmas to everyone. Let's turn to 2 Kings chapter 7. 2 Kings chapter 7. Brother Barker shared this story with the Jolly 60s. I thought it was wonderful. I thought I'd share it with you. There was this little boy. He was writing a letter. He wanted some things for Christmas. And he knew better than to write to Santa Claus. He was writing to Jesus. So he was writing this letter to Jesus, I would like the following things. And he thought, I probably should promise to be good or something. And so he wrote in there, if you'll give me these things, I'll be good for 6 months. And he just kind of stared at that for a little while and thought, that's not reasonable at all. So he kind of crumpled that up, threw it over his shoulder, started writing again. And this time it was 3 months. And he's like, oh, that's still not reasonable. Threw that over his shoulder, down to 1 month. Down to 1 week, down to 1 day. And as he's staring at that 1 day, he thought, boy, I am not a young man. And he crumpled that up, threw it over his shoulder. And he thought, he just kind of stared over at the nativity scene. Had a thought, went over, carefully picked up Mary, gently wrapped her in some tissue paper, took her upstairs, put her in his sock drawer, went back to his pen and paper and wrote, Dear Jesus, if you ever want to see your mother again. Turned that thing into a ransom situation. But Merry Christmas, everybody. This is a fun time of year. I love, my kids are at a fun stage. Family devotions, going through some things. It's very enjoyable. I'm looking forward to thinking, what will we do as a family next year? We're just finishing up a book, one of the Straight Paths book. I think it was in the bookstore. I think they might be out of them right now, but Pastor Tom Smith down in St. Clair, Missouri. But anyway, we were reading earlier in December, and he jumped on this passage, and he was bringing out some fun thoughts. And because my mind was on Christmas, I just heard Christmas all over again. Hopefully you'll see it before too long, but you're probably wondering where. But I'd like to just share that with you and see if we can draw some Christmassy thoughts from this. All right, 2 Kings 7, let's go to verse 3. And there were four lepers, at the entering of the gate, and they said one to another, Why sit we here until we die? So death is on their mind. If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. If we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore come, let us fall into the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. If they kill us, we shall but die. Boy, death is on their mind. And they rose up in the twilight to go unto the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord, and again, young men, we love this story, don't we? I suppose the girls probably love this too. But boy, guys, we love passages like this. The Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, Lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink and carried thence silver and gold and raiment and went and hid it and came again and entered into another tent and carried thence also and went and hid it. And then this is the verse that jumped out to me that sounded Christmassy. They said one to another, We do not well. This day is a day of good tidings. And we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore, come that we may go and tell the king's household. So this day is a day of good tidings. And they wanted to go and tell. When I thought of those good tidings, I thought there in Luke chapter 2 with the angels who brought tidings of great joy. Their tidings was that a Savior was born, and it was Christ the Lord. And then they said, we must go and tell. And I thought of the Christmas song, go tell it on the mountain. Go tell it on the mountains, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. While shepherds kept their watching or silent flocks by night, behold, throughout the heavens there shone a holy light. The shepherds feared and trembled when low above the earth rang out the angel chorus that hailed our Savior's birth. Down in a lonely manger, our humble Christ was born and brought us all salvation that blessed Christmas morn. Of course, he came and he lived and he died, and because of that, and he rose because of all that, we have salvation. Go tell it on the mountain. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you'll be with these few thoughts that I'll try to share. Lord, I'm excited about them. Pray that you help me to share them, Lord, in a clear way. Lord, I pray that you would supernaturally allow us to hear your word tonight, as you love to do, if we will be careful to listen. I ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. My first point, they were in a place of death. They were lepers. They were dying. They were in a place of death. But not only that, that wasn't the death they were talking about here. They were kind of in between this enemy army and a city that despised them because of their leprosy. They were unclean and kind of shut out of this city. In chapter 6, I don't have time to go there, and many of you know the story, but in chapter 6, verses 24 and 25, we know that Syria had besieged the city. They had shut off the city from any resources. There was a terrible famine raging, and it talks about trying to buy a donkey's head. I have no interest, but they did, and it was very expensive. To buy some dove's dung, again, never crossed my mind. But if you wanted to hear, it was exorbitant prices. Verses 28 and 29 speaks of cannibalism. The woman comes to the king and says, King, this woman's not doing right. Oh, tell me about it. I'm the king. Let me hear this issue. Well, we agreed that we would boil and eat our sons. We boiled and ate mine yesterday, and today we were supposed to boil and eat hers. You see, she's not doing right. And again, they say when you're starving, weird things begin to make sense. In times of famine, very, very strange things begin to make sense. In verses 30 and 31, the king was like, I'm going to take the head off of Elisha. I mean, again, during the good times, nobody wants to praise the man of God. But during the bad times, oh, they want to blame him. They want to take it out on him. Does this remind us of today at all? Well, there is a famine in this country. Amos 8 verse 11 says, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread nor thirst of water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. I probably have 4 or 5 Bibles on my phone. The Bible, you can get to it all across this country, but nobody's listening. Thus saith the Lord does not matter in this country. There's a famine in our land. And can I tell you, just like when there's starvation, weird things start to make sense. And doesn't that remind you of our country? Sometimes I think, Lord, I thought I shared this planet with human beings, but these people you see on the news and the things that make sense to them makes no sense. They act like animals so many times. Well, because there's starvation of a different sort, a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. In the beginning of chapter 7, Elisha, he stands up with a message of hope. He says, by this time tomorrow, there's discount prices on food. It's going to be wonderful. And they mocked his message of hope. There was a message of hope. You and I want to say, guess what the Lord will do for you? And they mock, don't they? There's a famine of the hearing of God's word. Well, these 4 lepers, desperate for food, the Bible says in verse 5, they rose up. They rose up. That's a good thing. When you're in a bad place, say, there must be a better place. There must be a better place. I think of the prodigal son in Luke 15, in that pig pen, when he said, I will arise and go to my father. It's no good here. They said, we're going to find a better place. I think of Noah in Genesis 6, verse 8, where it says, Noah found grace. Oh, there must be something better than this. And they rose up in the twilight. The twilight is kind of that place between light and dark, where you still can't see very well. And there's just a little bit of light, and you can't see real well. But what little light they had, they were going to go in search of mercy. And I think, again, we can remember those times, maybe back when, before you were saved, and God gave you a little bit of light, and you responded to that little bit of light, and because of that, God would lead us step by step. Psalm 119, 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. They rose up. And again, I wonder how close the tents were, right? I mean, you're not going to put your tent right at the base of the wall. Someone could drop a boulder off the wall on top of your tent, right? And I wonder how many times they would see the lepers down there. There must have been like a no man's land in there, and the lepers are just kind of caught in between. And I wonder if there were some people up there, it's like, should I just put him out of his misery? Looking down at the lepers, like, nah, we got to save that rock for the Syrians. I guess, but we need that rock. They're not even good enough to waste a rock on, to drop one on their head. What a strange situation they were in. And again, so they went in search of something better. And again, this is one of those things I'd like to see in heaven, a replay. When they're going up to the tents, they're nervous. There's something saying, nah, let's just go back and die by the wall. But they're going, and I have no idea. Going to a tent and yoo-hoo, looking inside. I think of Pastor Schwenke, or Evangelist Schwenke, when he was here. He says, I can't wait to get to heaven and ask them to pull out the DVD of this. And he said, I know that's not how it works up there. Everything's on the cloud. I thought that was good. And so they went out there, and they had fled. They took off. They left everything. When the lepers came, listen to the riches, verse 8, there was drink and they ate, and they had silver and gold and raiment. They went and hid it and came again and entered into another. Oh, so first of all, there was a place of death, but oh, the pleasures of deliverance. Oh, Noah found that grace. Oh, the prodigal son, he said, I will arise and go to my father. Oh, I've shed tears over that passage. And many of you have all the pleasures of getting to where you ought to be. The pleasures of deliverance. And again, the Lord had caused them to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses. One pastor said, God said, boo. And the enemy ran in terror. Isn't it fun to serve a God that can just say boo? And the enemy that has you scared to death and is starving you will take off in terror. Isn't it good to serve a God that big? The enemy's powerful, but he's nothing compared to our God. Remember when Jesus was there in Gethsemane and the big tough soldiers came, they were going to take him away. There in John 18, Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus said unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon as he said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. Oh man, my God's words are powerful. And he sent a supernatural sound and scared these guys away. He opened his mouth and the soldiers fell over. They were a little bit more cautious in the way they spoke to Jesus, I'm sure, after that in Gethsemane. This enemy was gone. They had fled for their lives, and there was a treasure out there in food and drink, in silver and gold and raiment. In that devotion book I mentioned earlier, he said this, they went from poverty to riches in a single night. They went from famine to feasting in a few hours' time. This is what happened when we came to the Savior. The moment we trusted Christ as our Savior, we went from condemned sinners to converted saints. Before we were spiritually dying in want of God's grace, now we eat the bread of life, drink of the living water. We were clothed in rags of wickedness, but now we wear robes of righteousness. But the story doesn't end there, does it? That next verse, verse 9, they said one to another, we do not well. So there was a place of death, there were pleasures of deliverance, but then there were pangs of debt. Pangs, that word, like you might have pangs of guilt, strong emotional feelings. They had pangs of debt. We are enjoying all these riches, and here we are keeping it to ourselves. We do not well, but what are you talking about? You're doing great. Your bellies are full. You've been hiding riches. I don't know. Are they over there building treasure maps so they can find it all later on? They're hiding all this wealth, and they say, we can't do this. We just can't do this. There were suffering people nearby that did not know that they needn't suffer anymore. The lepers felt obligated to tell others of what they had experienced. When they saw themselves enjoying the bounty of their newfound fortune and ignoring the plight of those in need, they said, we do not well. On Monday night, we had our home builders activity. Pastor Armacost brought up the verse there in Romans chapter 1, where Paul said, I am debtor. I am debtor. And I remember coming across that verse one time thinking, what does that mean? Paul said, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Paul, what are you talking about? What do you owe them? These people beat you. What do you owe them? They shackle you. What could you possibly owe them? They stone you. They scream at you. They mock you. They despise you. What could you possibly owe them? Oh, they despise me almost like I'm a leper. True, I'm nothing. But I have access to a great treasure. And I owe it to them to let them know. They're hard-headed. They mock the message of hope. But I gotta keep trying. He had the same heart that the Lord Jesus did. Luke chapter 10 tells us of another person who was despised. You remember those Samaritan people? They were outcasts, strange half-breeds, many with strange beliefs. Well, when a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, he was beaten and left for dead. A priest walked by and had no time for him. A Levite walked by. Ritual and religion had nothing for him. It was the Samaritan with wine and oil. Boy, for us it pictures the blood of Jesus and the Holy Spirit and the healing that only those can bring. He came on the scene with a beast that he was presumably riding, but he set the broken man on his own beast. Out of his own pocket, he procured a room in the inn. Boy, I can't help but think of Jesus. Isaiah 53:3, he was despised and rejected of men. Came on the scene riding and left the scene with the broken man on his beast. Jesus came and there was no room for him. And yet he came to die so we could have room in the heavenly inn one day. So what about us tonight? We were paupers, but now we're children of the King. We did not work for that blessing. We do not deserve it. We were like spiritual lepers, starving away with no hope. And God gave us mercy. How could we live with ourselves if we kept this news to ourselves? This is a day of glad tidings. Luke 2, verses 10 and 11, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. So these lepers, they went to a porter. And the porter said, oh, okay. He went to other porters. And eventually they went to the king. And the king said, it's just a trick. See, I know the enemy. I know these guys. They probably put a little distance. They want to lure us into a sense of complacency, get us out there and kill us. And one of the servants basically said, okay, sure, I get it. The news, it's got to be too good to be true, right? But at the same time, isn't it too good not to check it out? So there probably weren't a lot of horses left. But they got together what horses they could. And can you imagine opening that door? They're like, okay, you look out there. If you see a grass, you see a weed, we're shutting this door. And so can you see it? The door opens just a little bit. And the watchman, anything? Nothing. And opens a little bit more. Maybe the first guy with his horse jumps out the door and they're about ready to shut it. Anything? Nothing. A few people get out, shut that door real quickly. Okay, goodbye. It was nice knowing you. They take off, and after a while they come back. It's true. It's true. They're gone. God is bigger than the enemy. Oh, and they went out. This good news emptied a city. The people went out and spoiled the Syrians. They went out. This good news emptied a city. This good news moved a city. Doesn't that remind you of there in John chapter 4? Remember the woman at the well? She spent some time with Jesus. And he won her to himself. And it says there in John chapter 4, verses 28 through 30, the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come see a man which told me all things ever I did. Is not this the Christ? He's here. He's here. And they went out of the city. The good news emptied the city. The good news moved a city, and the good news can still move people. Amen. Boy, Jonah didn't even like his audience. But because his news was a supernatural message from on high, that news moved the city of Nineveh with a simple, tiny, 8-word message. We carry a supernatural message. The shepherds, Luke chapter 2, verses 16 through 17, and they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. They found him, and then they couldn't keep quiet about it. Back here in Jeremiah 29, God has a message for you. If you haven't found him yet, the shepherds, those simple shepherds, they were able to find him, and so can you. Have you found the place of grace that Noah found? Listen to this message. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then ye shall call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord. And I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places. You can find Jesus this Christmas season. And if you've already found him, don't be quiet about it. You have a supernatural message to share. Go tell it on the mountain.